At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hi, guys. It's me, Sarah J. I am flying the ship solo today. Well, not completely solo. I do have some friends with me waiting in the wings to help me navigate this week by myself. So yeah, Jamie is getting ready to go away camping for a week. And so he asked me to do this and hang out with you guys so he can get all of his shit ready to go. So yeah, I'm really excited about this and also really nervous because just right before I was about to jump on here, my chicken started freaking out because it's so hot. So she needed some fresh ice and all the things were happening. So, but we'll get all the wiggles out and we're going to have a really good time. So I'm going to bring some friends in so I can check all of the other things that I check here. Hi, Jeff. Hi, Adam.
Hey. Hello.
It's so great to have you guys here. I'm like, I know I can navigate this. I can do this, but it's nice to little help from my friends, right?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Adam, this is the first time I think you've like joined us ever. So that's awesome.
Jamie said I could. And I figured you said, when you put out that thing, I said, okay, you know, sometimes you got to stick your toe in the water. And so here we go.
Here you are.
Yeah.
Great time. I love it.
By the way, I'm coming. I mentioned this to Jamie the other day. I'm coming up to Buffalo for 4 weeks starting a week from today.
Okay.
And so it's, you need to cool it. It needs to cool down a little bit before we get there. It's like, I don't need to trade Tampa for Buffalo. It's like,
literally, it's pretty ridiculous. But hit me up when you get into town. We can meet up and hang out, get some lunch or something. That'd be awesome.
That would be cool. Jamie said something about if you wanted to come up to St. Catharines or something. And I said, hey, that's 45 minutes away. I don't care.
Yeah, no, it's not far at all. We were just up there earlier in the week doing some things. We were up to some things there. And, it was a fun little mid-week jaunt. It was only like an hour for me, and I stopped for donuts on the way home, and it was a good time. I was like, I will definitely drive up to St. Catharines for anything. So close.
Yeah, what was going on? Are you allowed to talk about that? I noticed there were a couple of posts where you and Jamie were finding bumper stickers and placing other ones on vehicles.
We were doing some things. We were adding to my collection on my car because Justin from Discovering Downey Crew just reprinted a couple stickers and gave me some, and I put one on my car. And then Jamie had made these really awesome TTH Top 40 stickers that will be available for sale at the event. And so we had to get some footage of me adding it to the, you know, the back of the car. So there's no doubt in the parking lot. I mean, aside from, you know, the New York plates would give it away, but also the stickers, there's no denying which car is mine in the parking lot. So.
And so what was the purpose of the get together though? Like, is there something coming down the pipe? Was it just hey, what's up?
Well, we were actually in St. Catharines. We were up there to visit the winery up there that makes the hip wine. So we went to hang out there for a little bit with Matt. I believe his name was. I'm like, we've been meeting with so many amazing people lately and like trying to get everybody right. And I believe it was Matt. So shout out to Matt. And we had a really awesome afternoon of wine tasting. And I will admit, I haven't had any alcohol since 2019, but I partaked in the in the wine tasting. So if there was any good reason to, you know, have a little bit of wine, that was
the alcohol-free grape juice that they gave you.
Yeah. No, I was like, no, we're going to enjoy this. And it was all very tasty. So it was a good time.
Awesome. Adam, did I hear you say that you're down in Tampa? Is that where?
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. I grew up in Buffalo, but my wife and I moved in 87 to the east coast of Florida. And then we've been in Tampa since 99.
Very nice. Yeah.
But all my family's up in Buffalo. So we come up and just keep sane sometimes.
That was my deal. My mom was born and raised in Buffalo and then like transplanted down to North Carolina where I was born. And we would always come back up here to visit. And then I wound up here when I was a teenager. So, but it was always home, you know, it was just always, you know, Buffalo's home. So
I went to college up there too. So it's fun. I still keep in touch with people that I knew 40 years ago. So it's cool.
Jeff, you need to come to Buffalo sometime and visit me.
100%.
Yeah. And see all the fucking awesome sights and take you around all the cool shit that we went to go look at when Jamie was here and stuff. So
yeah, Buffalo is a great place. Like I haven't done it justice by touring around, but I've been down for a hockey tournament.
Yeah.
Probably about 7 or 8 years ago. I was down playing with a bunch of guys and, you know, that's more, you know, hotel, drink.
For sure. You're not getting any of the sights at all. You're just, This is a really nice hotel lobby, though. So,
yeah. I was really impressed with the downtown core, though, because Buffalo's got a bad rap or did have a bad rap many years ago. Right. And so is it the Pagoulis? Is that the
Pagoulis?
Yeah. Sorry. Okay. And so, you know, the story that I got was that obviously they own the Buffalo Sabres, but they also were putting a lot of money into sort of revitalizing the downtown core. And I mean, I don't know how much of it they're responsible for, but from the bits that I saw, I was impressed. Like I thought to myself, why is Buffalo not busier with people? This is a pretty cool spot to come and visit. So that was,
that's
but
nice
yes, you're right.
About
I need
it,
to come
though.
Down for, yeah.
It's a nice little like, you know, it's got that small town feel. It's what I always say to people. It's just got that really nice community feel to it. It's just
it's awesome. Yeah. I like that one, the building that says, keep Buffalo a secret, like a mural. Do you know where that one is? Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
It's that nice little, like, nicely kept secret. I like it. Yeah. And I'm like the biggest fan of Wegmans too. So I just said the other day, I'm like, that's what keeps me there is Wegmans. So
my mom was, she's no longer with us, but she was such a Wegmans person that my Wegmans, you know, so we got her. So I said, Mom, you're getting to Trader Joe's. And she's like, okay, I'll try it out, but I'm not never stepping away from my Wegmans.
No, nope.
So that's pretty cool.
I sent the crew there when they were here. I was like, you guys are going to get ice cream. I'm like, you got to go to Wegmans. You got to get ice cream from Wegmans.
And is Wegmans, is it like a supermarket or something?
It's like the best grocery store ever.
And that's not a hometown call. That is external judgment. They win, you know, people beg, you know, they have their whole distribution system, so they can only go so far south. They're getting there. I think they may have something in D.C., maybe at Carolina. I don't know, but we would love if they got down to Florida. It's a super cool place.
It's the best. Okay. Great. So let's focus. Let's get back to my notes on things because we could just talk about how great that grocery store is forever because I'm a big nerd for grocery stores. That's how you know you're like at a certain age, right? But we'll always have the month-long birthdays, right, Jeff?
The month long, yeah. Even when you're 10 years older than you are now.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, speaking of the fact that my birthday was last Monday, I listened to that Sirius show that they played last weekend for the long weekend. Did you guys listen to that show?
The Buffalo show?
Yes.
Yeah. That was a 96 show, as I recall.
Yes. That was a phenomenal show. It was funny because last week we were getting ready to, like, I'm writing all my notes and everything. And, you know, we had changed our mind about going live. And I'm like, but I wanted to talk about that Buffalo show so bad.
So
I decided when we were coming on, I'm like, we have to talk about this Buffalo show.
Is that, you said it was 96, Adam?
Yeah. Yeah.
Was it November 26th?
It was November 26th.
It was right around Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Okay.
I only know that because I looked at a calendar because I was kind of like going, oh, Tuesday. And why does that make? Gene Simmons was explaining to Mike Campbell in this book, we always take Mondays off. Tuesday are tertiary markets. He's going through all this stuff. I go, sorry, dude, Tuesday in Buffalo is not a tertiary market for the hip. I was like, no. There may have been a reason why they could only do it on a Tuesday. It was probably called Thanksgiving. So that was in the new building, too, I believe. The new
Marine
building.
Midland, yeah, right. when they called it Marine Midland Arena. Yeah.
I've got this really, I can't figure out how to pivot my computer, but I'm looking over here and I got this picture from the Odd when the last show the hip played in the Odd in 95. And it's an empty Odd with the hip sound checking. And it's really cool. I got this at the Elmwood Art Festival years ago and had it framed. And so I was like, oh, that's so cool. They played in 95 to like however many thousands of people and then sold out the Marine Midland Center just a year later. So, yeah, obviously Buffalo is good for the hip and vice versa.
Absolutely. Yeah. So if nobody has listened to that show, you need to. There's a lot of really good highlights. Did you listen to it, Jeff, or you're taking notes because you need to listen to it?
No, I was discussion. So I was texting my wife to lower the volume. It's funny. So I was up at the cottage all week last weekend and then this weekend running around with my youngest in a hockey tournament. So my Sirius app, I can't even get good reception. My Sirius app sucks. Like I just do not get a good connection. It always fails on me and stuff. So
mine does too, even in the Wi-Fi. So don't feel bad.
Okay. So yeah, it's got to be a Sirius thing. But I saw that show was going to be playing and I was disappointed because I knew I probably wouldn't catch it. But ironically, I was looking at John Mitchell's YouTube site, Mojo Paw, and he posted the first half of the Buffalo show. I think a couple days ago. And ironically, I listened to it today.
And he did post the second half too.
Oh, he did?
Yes. They're both there.
Okay. Okay. I'll have to check out the second half then. But I thought it was fantastic. I was really enjoying it. And it's, I've listened to his, some of his hip stuff in the past, but I've never actually kind of navigated the text that he includes with it. So for the first time, I guess it's the description. It's listed as the description and he actually lists all the songs there. I probably sound like an idiot because everybody knows this and me being how great I am with technology, I was like, whoa. But yeah, so you can hit on the description and then click more and it opens up a full thing and it has all the time tags of when every song's there. And he'll say, like, he'll put in comments. He's probably listening actually.
He is. Yeah, he just said the second half is there too. He's in the here.
Oh, my chat's
I will
not popular,
there. I think you'll be so, able to see the comments now. I think you guys might be able to see the comments.
Okay, I'll keep still, looking. Anyway.
I'm still learning how to navigate this back.
I see it. I had it on private chat. I just click comments now. I can see.
Okay, perfect. Oh, so perfect. Now you guys will be able to see. Yeah. Okay, awesome.
But right. So anyway, I'm just saying, John. I think it's great the way you've done it. You know, like it says, like he, where's an example? Springtime in Vienna with the trophy salesman. And you know, when I listened to it, I'm like, well, what does this mean? Well, what is this some kind of weird lingo? I don't know. But then as I listened to it, it all made sense. You know, he'll give a couple words about you know, what the intro entails, or what, you know, a mid song story, or he might say it's an early version of this song or something like that. But I think those comments are fantastic. Like, I, you know, as soon as I finished that, I went on and listened to another one of his shows, and I knew what all the comments meant now. So anyway, thanks for that. And I'm looking forward to hearing the second half, John.
Oh yeah, they are on there. I love that they're popping up on there too. Okay, that makes me happy that everybody can see them too. Awesome. Perfect. Perfect. I know I had a bunch of Springtime in Vienna keeps coming up too, because I don't know if you guys saw Craig. I don't know if he shared it or maybe Jamie shared it in the group, but Craig's band Gift Shop just covered that, and he shared the video with me, and then somebody had shared it in the group. So Springtime in Vienna has come up a ton this week, which is funny because then I listened to that show, and that was definitely one of the highlights from that too. So I did want to make sure that we shouted out Craig and his band. So I think he's in the chat also, so check that out. And if you are in the chat, share the link too for that video, please, Craig, so that everybody can watch it if they haven't.
Yeah.
Let me check if you guys have anything. Oh, wait, hold on. I think we're like live on Instagram now too. Yay, go me. I did that.
I cannot tell you how awesome that was the other day when we were having dinner with friends, and all of a sudden this thing pops up, and oh, the Tragically Hip thing, top 40 countdown is live. And I'm like, so my wife is wonderful. I said, can you mind if I like listen to this? And I got the last 40 minutes. And so it was funny when you guys were asking about who are the top pick, what do you think the top three songs are going to be? So before anybody else chimed in, I went Locked, Bob Cajun, and yet Nautical Disaster. And so,
Again, oh my gosh, this is going to be fantastic. Mm-hmm. This is great, because I wanted to talk about the panel the other night. I think I saw that Shireen was in the chat too. And it was so fucking rad to have another chick at the table. That was so fun. Like, I'm used to being the only girl, you know, talking about music and hanging out, but it was so great to have her there. And it was her first time, like, ever doing anything like that. And she, oh, you are here. Hi. She knocked it out of the park, and it was so awesome to hear her insight and everything. So awesome to meet you. Yes, girl power. It was so much fun. And Thomas was so fun too.
Yeah, who is concertaholic that said he had to revisit Depression Suite? Because
that's
Jeff
from Vaughn.
I was beeping the horn going, yes, you absolutely do. I mean, the Depression Suite, that's my number one song. So it's like 34 is just outrageous.
It was so funny, though, because Thomas is the guest on this week's song number 11. Well, I hadn't had a chance to listen to the episode. My week was just busy. We were doing all the things. And I hadn't had a chance to listen to the episode until Friday late afternoon. I was prepping for our roundtable. And as I'm listening to his episode, I'm like, oh, wait a minute. This is the same Thomas that I'm about to sit down and hang out with. And I'm like, but this is really cool that I'm now listening to it. Like, I waited. And then it was really fun to sit down and listen to everything he had to say, all his nerdy stats and spreadsheets. You know, I loved it, Jeff.
Oh, yeah. I was just like, what?
Yeah,
that was impressive.
Yeah, I really would love to know how he, like when he said Great Soul didn't get any votes. And I'm like, what database are you looking at to know, you know, so maybe Jamie shared with him all the voting. And
it's incredible. I think it's just data that he's pulled together and done himself based on his own analytics is what I think it is.
That's a hell of a lot of homework. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. I really think that that's what it is. I haven't had the opportunity to pick his brain about it, but you know, I was just salivating over it. Just like, this is amazing.
That was cool stuff. Definitely cool stuff.
It was great. It was a good round table. It was a lot of fun to hear everybody's hot takes, especially as we come into tomorrow and the top 10. This is where things are going to start getting really heated, I think.
I have to tell you, since I only got Sirius since Jamie got his show on Sirius, I found out I had like a 6-month free trial. It just sounds so awesome to hear these episodes. Like, I'm going, oh my God.
On Sirius.
This little group that we have is like going around the world and people are listening everywhere. And Jamie does such a great job with this thing that it's fantastic. So I've actually gone back and listened to a lot of them, you know, because you get so much more out of repeated listenings, hearing people's takes on things.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Sure. And getting to know everybody too. That's what I said. I don't know if it was when we were actually live on Friday or before when I was first like introducing myself to Shireen and Thomas, but that has been one of the very, very cool things with the power of social media too, is listening to these episodes and then finding people either in the groups or on Instagram and then connecting and, you know, you guys talking and building your own friendships and connections and doing different things. And it's because of the episode that you heard. And now you've got to meet different people from literally all over the world. And it's just, it's really cool. It's really special.
100%. Yeah. So right.
Jeff, what are your top three ideas of songs? You got, come on. You have
no.
to. Can't bow Honestly, out. Sorry. Not allowed. You have to.
First of all, I think I've got a pretty bad memory, number one. And it's not that I'm not paying attention to this, but what I haven't done is what a lot of people have done, is actually made lists so that I can start moving the pieces around. So
there is, hold on, let me see if I can find it. There was a picture and I don't know if he's got it on here.
Put some glasses back on here. Such a reflection, so I keep taking them off, but then I can't see what I'm looking at.
I have it on my phone. I could text it to you. The top.
Yeah, I've got, you know, I made the mistake of not getting a list done, and then I started a list, and I didn't get it down to 20, nor did I put them in order. Otherwise, and I really should have finished that task, and I could tell you exactly what my picks would be. But that'll be my homework for next time.
You owe me homework now.
I do.
I'm giving you homework. So,
you know, for me though, it's like when I listen to everyone with their picks and I think, okay, this is the other thing I think about too when I'm going through this, like there's no bad songs. Like I love all of their music. Now there could be five within their whole catalog that I could do without. And that could be a whole other topic, but I don't want to get into negative stuff. But I think it would be interesting to hear what people, you know, don't enjoy. But I just, some of the really popular tracks like Lock in the Trunk of Car, which I love, I don't know if I would have it in my top three. And I think it's just because I've listened to so much of their stuff for so long. You know, like sometimes just it's too much. And so it's a great one that I put up on the shelf, but there's other ones that are maybe sort of what they call B-sides or stuff on the second half that I get turned on to a little bit more. But again, I don't have a list of all the songs that are left, which where I could start plucking, but who knows, maybe I'd look at them and go, no, Locked is definitely one of the best of the ones that are left. And it would be my top three, but I don't know. I always tell Jamie.
It's funny that we all said that. We all three said that the other night, and then Adam said that too. So it's really interesting that it came up.
Yeah.
That many times.
John was saying that it made his soul happy that everybody had Locked. Mojo. He was saying that it made his soul happy that everybody had Locked in their top picks.
For sure. I said that too. I love that. Well, we're going to see. That was really wild that we all said that. I didn't even pick up on it until Jamie had called it out. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. Yeah. I had two of the three that Shireen said. So we were pretty like kind of seeing eye to eye on that. So I'm excited for tomorrow. And it means the event is coming soon, guys. Like, I cannot believe that. Yeah. There's so many very cool things behind the scenes that I'm really, really, really excited to start being able to tell everybody about. But lots of very, very cool things. And two sets from the Strictly Hip is going to be such a blast. We've seen them so many times this summer and it's been so much fun. And I'm really excited to have them there and just to see everybody. That's going to be such a great time. So as I keep saying. It's actually the weekend, Jeff, so it's the best weekend ever.
We don't have to go with the best not a weekend ever anymore.
And it is the best weekend because I'm going to go see Bryan Adams the night before in Toronto, too. So it's going to be the best weekend ever.
That's really cool.
Great time. Yeah, I'm really excited. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Speaking of the event, I'm curious. Like, I know I don't see the numbers of how many people are in the chat right now, but of the people who are in the chat, who's all going? Who has tickets? Who's planning on getting tickets? I'm curious.
I know.
I'm booked. I'm flying up to Buffalo Friday morning. Got an Airbnb in Buffalo, a hotel in Toronto. Yes. And then, so I'm going to try and do the Hockey Hall of Fame. I'm going to try and get my Swish LA fix because we don't have it in the United States anymore. Sarah would remember that it was on Niagara Falls Boulevard.
Yep. Oh my God.
So, what's your dish, Adam? What's your go-to?
Oh, I mean, I just like the half chicken with the fries and the biscuit or the roll and everything. And it just brings me back to when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
And just
totally.
So I love, yeah. So, but yeah, going up to Canada is awesome. I can't wait. And hopefully, you know, everybody can get together and hang out. And I'm just excited about, and this is cool too, getting to meet some people that have a similar love. So it's kind of, how bad can it be? You got to Strictly Hits always great, and raising some money for an incredible cause. So
that's looks like Cindy, your mom said she's in.
My mom's coming too. It's going to be a great time. I'm really excited about that. It's going
to
be fun.
And Adam, I am curious, back to the Swiss Chalet thing. Do you dip your fries in the chicken dipping sauce as well as your chicken?
I don't really like the sauce. I told the lady in 2022, I said, you can hold the sauce. It's, you know, they used to have like a real tangy sauce, but the one that they still have is kind of watery. So it's okay. You know, listen, not everybody has to agree on everything, but
no.
I hate to dominate, but this was pretty funny. In 2022, I went to the border and she goes, what are you coming over for? I go, chicken. How long are you going to be in Canada? I go, 45 minutes. There's a Swiss Chalet 6 minutes over. I'm getting my chicken. I'm coming right back. I'll be back in 40. She cracked up. Go, get out of here.
Did she ask you to grab her a quarter chicken while you were there?
I would have done it. I would have happily done it. It was like minus 8 that day. You know, really cold, but it was awesome.
That's hilarious. I love that. Funny. Yeah,
Cindy, your mom said that she's. She's getting the shakes because Adam keeps mentioning hockey and she's going through withdrawal. Maybe you can get her into the Hockey Hall of Fame when you're up for the show.
Although
the season won't started.
She literally is going to make one of those like countdown like chains that you'd make like when you're a kid and you would rip the days off. She like wants to make one of those for the countdown of hockey because she just misses it so bad.
That's awesome. She
just loves it. That's why it's so funny. She has all the hockey love. That's why I don't need to have any of it because she has more than enough for both of us.
I thought that whole thing when you were talking about the song and how your son loves it, but you really identified with that one line that because we're on live, I'm not going to, everybody knows the line, but that's,
You said, yeah.
Yep, that's my line. My mom will be like, they wrote that song about you, that line about you. Well, and yesterday my son wasn't feeling well, so I had to take him to go get some medicine yesterday. And after I picked up the prescription and we're like driving home and he's having some sushi in the car. He's like hanging out and he's like, I want to listen to Fireworks. So we like put it on and he instantly felt better. So that's he loves that song so much. He yells it when we go to see the Strictly Hip. He'll be right up at the front and he'll be like, play Fireworks. Yeah. Every time. He's so funny. He's that guy. I love it so much.
That's awesome. I was looking there. I love it so much for him
though, because it's such a really fun environment. And because we've been to a bunch of shows like in a short amount of time, he's seen like some of the same people in the crowd, and so that's been really fun. It's he goes right up front and he's dancing and he's having a really great time, and it's a really fun like safe environment. Like I can back up a little bit or I can work the crowd and do a little PR and do my thing, and he's like just up there having a great time. So I mean, kudos to them for having that, you know, keeping that community vibe alive. I love it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. So
I was just looking at some of the responses to who's going to be there. It looks like Shireen says, "I wish."
So I know that, you need
I think
to be
that's
there.
A no. Yeah. And I'm assuming that's Craig. He wrote, "I'm with you, Jeff, for the same reasons." Locked. I think he's, I don't know if he's commenting on that. Maybe that was chicken, but I wish. It's the first one I don't think I'll make. So I guess he'll be there. Mojo, no, he's got combat type PTSD from his last Pearl Jam concert in 2013. So he can't be near crowds. We can FaceTime him maybe.
I think so.
Yeah.
I know. I do want to do like a bunch of different live stuff, like whatever we can do to just kind of like, you know, still include the group in some way. And yeah, so I'm kind of like scheming and trying to think about what I can do with this phone of mine. You know, I love my phone, Jeff.
Yeah. Good call. Totally. Yes, you do. You could probably teach me a few things about mine. Anyway, that's a whole other story. I'm just going to turn some lights on.
Okay. I'm looking to see what else
I'll be right
we have
back.
Going on. Yeah, totally. I really appreciate everybody like being here while we're navigating this. And I think it's going well. We went live on Instagram too. I think it's still working. I'm pretty sure of it. So if not, then that's okay too. It's all right. I'm figuring it out. Oh no, I think it is still live. Okay, awesome. I'm so proud of myself that we've got it all going on. Okay. Let me see. I'm checking to see what else we have. Okay.
I was watching the round table the other day while I was driving. And so I was doing it on my phone. I had it on my dash and I'm, you know, listening to it through the car stereo, you know. And the odd time when I was stopped, I wanted to try and chat, but I couldn't chat on my phone. It says I have to create a profile or a channel.
Yeah.
Next time I see you, Sarah, you can.
I'll help you. We'll get it all figured out. I got you.
This dinosaur is having a hard time with this stuff. So
it's okay. I got you. We'll get it figured out. It'll be good.
Okay. Yeah.
So we talked about Thomas for a little bit, but I want to talk about your guys' thoughts about the song of the week, because I even really kind of marinated on it a little bit more because I watched the two of the things that Thomas mentioned in his episode. I watched the Full-Fledged Vanity on YouTube, which I had never seen. I had only seen parts of that they had in the docuseries. So it was cool to watch the whole thing. And then I watched that New Orleans is Sinking with the West Wind that he had talked about too. I had never seen that either. So it was cool to watch both of those. But it made me think about, because I always try to find like something, like I never really want to kind of be negative about anything, especially music. And that's not really like a favorite song of mine. And I did read what Justin said about like his hot take. He was talking about you don't want to hear it all the time. But after watching that video, I kind of have like a different mindset about it, because maybe it wasn't so much, that it was such a, like, obviously it was a crowd and a fan favorite. So of course they're going to put it on the set list a lot, but just for the fact that it was such a vehicle for so much creativity within the like the bounds of it. So like that was maybe more of a reason why, because there would have been things that needed to be worked out and needed to be road tested and needed to be whatevered. And so they knew that that song held a container for creativity. So that's like, it was really an interesting, different kind of mindset that I had around it. Was like, oh, so actually I can really be super grateful for what that song like produced and allowed them the space, you know, the whole band, but Gord, you know, to creatively just kind of purge things that would become other things. And like that, when I listened to that, was a perfect, just such an example of it. So it's like, okay, it gives me a new appreciation for that song after.
Yeah. I think that when Charlene asked the question the other day, do you want what I think is going to happen or what I'd like to happen? And those are two different things, because like blow it high dough, if that's on tomorrow and we get it off the, you know, that would be okay with me, because it's a great song and it's wonderful for the band, but I don't think it's one of their top songs. But I mean, I have a soft spot for it. And same thing, New Orleans Is Sinking. It's fantastic. By the way, that was the Pink Pop 1995. I think somebody was asking, was it Woodstock?
I was just going to say, if anybody knows, it's not the Woodstock. I knew it wasn't the Woodstock one, but I couldn't remember specifics. So
they said Pink Pop, wherever that happened to be. So I don't know if that was a European thing or don't know that one off the top of my head. But yeah. But I think what Jeff said earlier is like, there's not really any bad songs on their studio albums. You know, maybe the EP has a couple, but forget that. But you know, there's just lesser great. You know, there's
So absolutely, they're all lesser and greater levels of greatness.
There's nothing on a studio album that I skip. Nothing. You know, I can't say that for any other band. Holland, thank you.
Okay.
Pink Pop. Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
I thought that was a great song, and I enjoyed his take on it too. It was interesting. I mean, for a guy who is a relatively new fan to the hip, his knowledge was dynamite. Like and being a musician, his takes were interesting on that as well. You know, not being a musician, I always appreciate hearing musicians' takes, because it provides me with a new perspective or a slightly different lens to sort of pay attention to the song, to appreciate the song. And so I like that. And I mean, for me, I love it. But again, I don't know if I could give you a top 10. So I could. And it's been said by lots of people, you know, who've been on the podcast and or on the Sunday Evening Jam. And I think he said it on his episode, is depending on your mood or what you've been listening to as of late or what you're going through, you know, what's happening, you can gravitate. And this is one of the beautiful things about their catalog. You can gravitate to a whole different set of songs, to a whole different album, to a whole different era of their music, you know. And as time goes on, sometimes I'll go back to Road Apples or Up to Here, and I'm just like, oh my god, like this stuff, man, it's so great, you know. But then I'll stick there for a bit and maybe overplay it a little too much for myself, which is fine, because I just set it on the shelf and I'll move to newer stuff and cycle through that. One of my good buddies, Daryl McGrath, I mentioned his name on my episode, and I noticed at the round table, he was actually joining in on the live chat. That's when I couldn't chat because I was on my phone. I think he made a comment in the top 10, he feels 75% of the song should be from Up to Here. You know, so he must be in one of the throwback micro moods that we have through this journey of life at the hip. I find New Orleans Is Sinking for me is a happy young place. Like it's great, you know. Top 10, would I be happy with it in top 10? Absolutely. It's not there, but I'm okay with it at 11. I would have been okay with it a few spots, you know, before 11. But it's a phenomenal track, and like a lot of cool memories about what that song has given birth to. You've got Double Suicide, Highway Girl. You've got Killer Whale. I think it's Double Suicide that was in the middle of New Orleans Is Sinking.
But I think you're spot on, because just the idea that they put out this EP. And then the song that gets them the recording contract in that two song thing that they played at whatever club it was in Toronto, they were playing New Orleans Is Sinking. I mean, it's like for a band that's not even signed, they're writing a song that good. It's like, holy cow. I mean, yes. It's just ridiculous. Bands don't do stuff like that, you know. And that song 32 years later, that guitar riff still sounds as alive today as it did back then. I mean, is it their stuff has aged well, really, really well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed.
To your point that you made to Jeff, like that was exactly what I said on Friday. Cause I have been inside Trouble at the Hen House, which was interesting to me, and come back to Springtime in Vienna was kind of like what sparked that. And then Gift Shop came up a bunch like recently. It was on the countdown recently, and Jamie had a whole discussion about, you know, it being such a phenomenal opener, which I agree with that statement. Yeah. And then when we were up at the winery, Matt up there had talked about the album like three or four times it came up. And I live by the ideology that if you hear something more than once, you know, you should be like paying attention. So I'm like, there's a reason. So I've been listening to that album all week, and it's been so great because I definitely glossed over that album. Like, I will admit that I have not spent enough time before this week with that album as much as like I should have. So mm-hmm. I'm like making up for lost time. And it's nice, though, because I feel like I can appreciate it in like a different way, just kind of like being, you know, in life where I'm at now. So that's a nice thing with it too. And I definitely will probably play it more than I should. And then it'll just like, I won't listen to it again for a while.
Yeah. The funny thing with hip albums and their discography is I often feel like I have glossed over albums, and I have, and trust me, like I've listened to the shit out of hip since I started listening to them, and I still do. But to my point about listening to other people's perspectives and some of the podcasts that Jamie's put out, it just gives you new lenses. And you know, I think when we first got, not when we first got the albums, when we were younger and technology was older and we had tapes and we had the tape sleeve, and then we got CDs and we had the CD sleeves, you would spend more time, you know, sitting there and reading the lyrics of your favorite song. And, you know, as time went on, I think that, or maybe we just grew up and we got busier and didn't have time for that stuff. Maybe a combination. Now it's all digital. And, yeah, well, there's always ways to obtain the lyrics and read them. But yeah, I just find like, sometimes I hear words or phrases differently that I, you know, you sing along and then you kind of, you know, and then you go back and you listen more carefully, or you hear a live version. This is another thing with the Mojo Pause site, John's site, and Darren's archives, you know, that you can go and listen to all these live versions. And, you know, often Gord will enunciate differently, or he will slow his speech down a little bit, or the band will not be playing as loud as they are in the studio album, and you hear things a little more clearly. You know, so I have listened to the hell out of this band, and I still sometimes feel that I've glossed over albums that I've completely listened to, you know,
950 million times. Yeah. Well, Thomas made that point too, even just like him being a newer fan, so he's clearly not listened to the songs as many times as you have, but he made that point too in his episode, was, you know, you'll still hear things that you haven't heard all of these different times, just because your ears are doing different things, you know, and so you're picking up on stuff differently. But it's funny because I will have favorite version, live versions of songs, obviously we all do, but there will be little bits of things that Gord will do in my favorite versions of songs that when I listen to the studio version, like I will do it when I'm singing along, like in the car, I will do like whatever the little thing was from the live thing. Yeah. I like bring it over. I do like this cheesy little thing. So yeah, but it's funny because Brendan will start doing it now. I'll hear him in like the back of the car. It's like, okay, it's rubbing on.
Yeah. Too funny.
It's fun. It's fun.
That's awesome.
I want to read what everybody's comments are.
I know. Hey, listen, I was just reading the comments as you were talking, and I like, there's a little chatter between Concertaholic, Jeff from Vaughn, and Mojo Paw, who's John Mitchell, and they're talking about someone release Never Heard Stop. I just salivate when I think about this stuff that you
I know.
Must have.
Well, same.
We were talking, Sarah, about reading this week. I watched the doc and then I read the book. I did this all like in 3 days. And when you go through the book and you look all the ephemera and you start looking at the set lists and the live takes that they're doing in the studio, there are still dozens of songs where I don't, maybe they changed the name, you know, and it became something else, but I'm like, okay, where are those songs? I mean, we still never heard, and I really need to go back to the book and start writing them down and just keeping a list and saying, I'm on the lookout for whatever these things are. And
Adam, I agree. It's such a tease, isn't it? It's like your mind can't handle it all. You're reading the book and you're seeing those pictures of all the studio tapes, and you're just like, oh my God.
I have little, of course, I will send you a picture, Jeff, of what my book looks like. I have different colored post-its.
I've seen it, Sarah.
Picking out from each part of the thing, because some post-its are where Buffalo is mentioned, because Buffalo is inside that book so much. There's pictures. I think there's actually a picture of Gord Sinclair from that 96 Buffalo show, inside the book. There's pictures of them in Sabres jerseys. There's concert posters that say Darien Lake. There's a lot of Buffalo inside that book. So I put on my little post-its and spots there and all these different things, because I read the whole thing from cover to cover. It was
amazing.
It was a lot, but you got to absorb it all.
Yeah, and again, we all have to absorb what just came out in the last year. But Rob, after reading that book and listening to Rob, he's the one hit member that should write a book. His opinions are so unfiltered, and I hope, he just says, I'm going to let some time settle, but I'm just, I just want to write a book. And, but that was really part of the great stuff is each member didn't like a certain album. And then the way the book is sequenced, they're not sitting in the same room, but Johnny will say, oh, that was one of my favorite albums. And then somebody else says, oh God, that was such a bummer. It's I didn't like it. Yeah. That's very cool for a band to have different views on things, but
very interesting.
Again,
absolutely.
The worst hip album is still a very, very good record. Yeah,
totally.
There's no bad solo records or studio records.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. So, cool stuff.
Just one last thing about the episode there last week with Thomas from Belgium. I think 2018 is when he got into the hip and man, he jumped in quick and in a lot of different avenues. But I was so impressed with how decisive he was about songs. I've been listening to the hip since 91, and as the conversation has revealed, I'd be trying to pick favorite songs, but I was impressed with how decisive he was on his songs for a guy that's been listening since about 2018. So anyway.
He was very fascinating. I loved that too. I'm trying to untangle my cord here to plug my laptop in. As this has gone on too, that's what I love, the fact of the not only obviously the age range of fandom, which we saw too when we went to Toronto to see the Strictly Hip and all of those people that were standing outside waiting at the Horseshoe, there were a lot of really young people there too. And that was really fascinating to me that they're still very, they're young, they're 20, so that was really fascinating to me. And, when you hear these different people on the show and everything, that everybody's different ages, not only just where they are location wise, but age wise. And so that's really fascinating to me and a testament to, how timeless it is and how it really hasn't aged. I think there's a few people too that have said that where, this music, it's not it's aged. You listen to it and it's not oh, well, that's, whatever. It's timeless. So
yeah. Oh, I agree.
Let me plug this in. Talk amongst yourselves while I plug this in.
Talk amongst ourselves.
Well, I have a terrible take that because I'm a 2016 convert And so when I, the only live show that I saw, I didn't see them ever, but the last show in Kingston, I sat in front of the computer and I said, oh, wow, I'm going to really get into this. I had five of their albums, but hadn't listened to them forever. So this was a new experience. So I started getting back into them, but I never associated the different eras. Like Gord sang differently, you know, in the last 3 or 4 years, people called it shouting Gord or something like that. But to me, until I started listening to live shows that, you know, John has and Darren has, and other than, you know, Live Between Us, I really didn't have a lot of live experience. And so I was listening to, like, I go, okay, so that show in King Gord was really shouting a lot. And, but that's how I enjoyed the shows for like 3 or 4 years until now. The last 5 years, I've been listening to all, I go, oh, wow, this must have been amazing to see these guys when he was singing like he could in the 90s, just complete control of his voice and a master. So,
yeah.
So I really admire, like you said, you were back there in 91. That's a totally different thing
that, oh, yeah,
sadly, I whiffed on, you know.
Jeff had some great stories in his episode, for sure. Yeah. He had some fantastic tour memories, for sure. Yeah. Your episode was great. And your take on Cordelia was fantastic, too. So,
oh, thank you.
Yeah. It was a nice little English lesson, you know.
I right? So. Oh, boring. Yeah. No. yeah, it's, you know what? Like, I was fortunate, Adam. I did get to a lot of shows. Not as many as some people have. But just for a regular guy that's not a musician, not in the industry, and you know, just making shows when you could, when you could scrape the box together, when the band was fairly close to, you know, where you're living. I got out with buddies and saw a bunch. And I felt like, honestly, like every show I went to was a top-notch show. Like you just, yeah, the music, the band, the energy, the memories that you bring into it. Like it's, it ignites everything when you're there. And so I, you know, like you, I've heard some people say like there were eras where, you know, Gord was maybe not on top of his game, or he's, you know, mailing it in to some extent, but I never picked up on that myself. But again, that's just a personal take. And, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. Some people who, you know, for yourself, you said 2016, was it, Adam, that you started getting into them?
Well, yes. I mean, it was my friend, Sarah probably knows who my friend Donnie Cutsbeck is. He's a promoter in Buffalo and he owns Town Ballroom. And he let me know that Gord had cancer. And I hate cancer. I mean, you want me to write a check quickly? Tell somebody you had cancer, I'm writing a check.
Yeah.
And that just devastated me because I barely knew his name. And that just started me on, I don't think I listened to any other music for 4 years. I just started acquiring the albums, CD, vinyl, learning from people like yourselves and killing myself for never having seen them. But yeah, I really didn't start in earnest till 2016. So I sure wish that, you know, I had taken my brother used to call me, goes, oh, the Hip are playing. And I'm like, yeah, okay. I'm not flying up. I don't really know anything about them. And big mistakes. Big mistakes.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know what, though? I mean, it's everybody sort of has their own journey with the band and the music. And I was thinking about this, I think, just the other day when I was listening to Thomas's episode and he was talking about, you know, 2018. And, you know, it impresses me when people who are somewhat new to them have such a love for them, because I think about how it evolved for me, and it didn't feel too much like a solo mission. It was a group experience. You know, it was my whole peer group, and every time we were together, and my brother and sister love the Hip as well. So, you know, it was almost like a family thing, like a sibling thing, and my peer group and extended peer group, because, you know, people are always listening to the Hip when you go to parties or somebody's house and cottages. And then when we'd go to concerts, it was never like grab one friend and go. It was like a big group, you know, so
There's so many life experiences tied into the music and weaved throughout. And of course, that changes with time because we get older and, you know, people start to move away and you have families and things like that. So I don't know. I just think I'm so fortunate to, you know, have had those experiences. And I think, you know, when people say they've not been listening, like didn't go through their youth, I guess, you know, when you're always around friends and doing that, I think I'm so impressed with how they're enamored with the hip, you know, because it just makes me realize there's more ways to take it in than the way I learned to take it in. And, mm-hmm. you know, even listening to Getting Hip to the Hip, you know, to hear the appreciation that group, the hosts had for the hip. Anyway, I mean, it speaks to the band, you know, like it's, mm-hmm. it's in my mind, I think, oh, I got to, you know, grow up with it and or it was organic and I shared it. And no, like, it speaks to the band. Like you don't have to be an old fan to have an equivalent love to somebody who's been taking them in for, you know, a couple decades or a few decades. So
anyway. Absolutely. Yeah. It's not about that longevity. Like I feel that way, like about you and Jamie too, Jeff. It's like, I haven't known you guys for a super long time, but you guys are my family. You guys are like my brothers. And, you know, so it's not really about, like, oh, I've known you for so many years. It's more about just that connection that you
100%. Made.
So
yeah,
I feel the same way about you guys.
Yeah, so. Yeah, it's cool because, you know, we've used the word before, community, but the band really creates a dynamite community, you know. And
yeah,
it's kind of like Bill and Ted, you know, like they're gonna save the world with their music. Here we are, it's the hip.
That's fantastic. I love that analogy. That's amazing. Yeah. I love that. All right, guys. Well, this has been so amazing. Do you guys have anything else that you want to like talk about or jam on? I'm like so proud of us. We've been on almost an hour. Like, I love this. I was like, oh my God, we're probably only going to do it for like 10 minutes, but
we bought it.
No, we did great. Time flies
when you're talking hip.
No, I love it. And I really appreciate you guys being here to navigate my liftoff by myself. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Happy to be here for it, Sarah.
This was a lot of fun. Adam, thank you so much for hanging out. It was wonderful to finally meet you. We've kind of conversed a little like in the chat and whatever and everything. So it's great to finally meet you. And
well, yeah, ditto. I'm very reticent to get on camera. So it's, we'll tell you, you know, if you had not sent out that message, I would have just been in the chat. You know?
Well, I appreciate that. I was like, you know what? I do not. And see, here's the testament to community, Jeff. Seriously, guys, right here. Because I'm like, you know what? I can do this. I've done a bunch of live stuff myself already. And I mean, I can do this, but it just felt like coming into Jamie's house and like making myself a sandwich in his kitchen when he's not home or something. So I felt a little like unsure, you know, but I was like, you know what? I got the community. I got my people. Somebody will come and hang out with me and help me navigate this. So
100%.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. Nice chatting with you, Adam, and having some face-to-face here. And to everyone in the chat who jumped
everybody
in.
Everybody in the chat, thank you for hanging out. Hi, Mom. I love you. Thank you for coming to hang out. My mom, I took her to the Strictly Hip a couple weeks ago. She came home. She binged the docuseries.
All right.
It's real serious right. Over here, Jeff. It's serious.
That's dynamite. Hey, Sarah, just in case you forget, you have to drop a line right at the end of all this.
I've been thinking about it the whole. I've been doing like I'm keeping it in my head like I'm on SNL. Like I'm not gonna forget.
Hold up a cue card. Oh wait, I'm on camera. I can't hold that up. Amazing.
I love you. I'm so glad you're here. Thank you for coming and hanging out and guiding me. I love you.
Of course.
Last word. 300 episodes. Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
I saw that.
So much. Thank Super you. Cool. Truly. Now I am going to cry. Thank you. Okay.
Thank my you. Work's done here then.
Yeah. That means a lot.
Mic drop.
Oh my God. Thank you so much, guys. Literally. Thank all you. Right. I'll see everybody later. Pick up your shit.
That's funny. How do we hang up?